When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, since I'm very giving, I want to protect this guy because I think he has potential. But I think he's getting a little bit out of control.
Okay, who's that?
The guy is Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, there you go.
So there was a report by NFL Notifications that Zach Wilson's camp has explored trade options, but no team has expressed much interest. In fact, the Jets are being told that they will have to tie a draft pick to Wilson or eat the majority of his remaining salary in order to facilitate a trade. Of course, who's gonna take his salary? Who? For what? Coming off of what?
Yeah.
All right? So Sauce Gardner then retweeted that and added a comment. And then he goes, this has to be cap. Zach is a baller, 100%. All he needs is time to throw the ball, and if for whatever reason he don't have it, he can get it done with his legs. Well, a couple of things. I guess you're saying he didn't have time to throw the ball, so you're just hosing the entire offensive line.
Exactly.
And second of all, so they did have a bad offensive line last year, and he could have used his legs, and you know what? He was awful. I'm sorry, Sauce. You don't have to comment. You're like Peter Rosenberg. He has to comment on everything on Twitter. That's not the way it works.
Well, that's not fair.
But I'm just saying that as a joke. But have you seen? He has a comment about everything. It's too much. Well, he's going to get himself into trouble. I've been there, Sauce. I mean, you get obsessed with this crap, and you start answering people back, and you feel that you have to have an opinion on everything, and it's only going to blow up in your face. Stop it. Let your play do the talking.
Well, what I would say to him, because that's kind of hard to do, because obviously these players love the platform. And I think fans enjoy it. So I wouldn't even go there, Michael, because that's a tough act to sell to some of these players. But what I would say to him is, I get what you're doing. You want to support a teammate. All right, I appreciate that. That looks cool. You're trying to be a leader. But you don't realize, while supporting Zach, you're ripping his offensive line. You are still ripping teammates. And oh, by the way, if the Jets do eventually trade him, now you kind of ripped your own team that you're on. So you're putting out one fire and causing three others. So you want to lend support, you want to be on social media, that's great. But in this particular situation, without even realizing it, you're ripping the offensive line and you're ripping management. So why don't you just lay out or just say something nice about Wilson? Best of luck, man. Oh, it'd be tough to see him go. Whatever, but don't you see what I'm saying, guys? He's ripping his offensive line, and if they end up trading him away, now he's got on record saying he didn't agree with it, and now it causes a whole big thing. What are you doing?
But Don, this is just one instance, and you're right. Everything you're picking apart, he can't stop. Look at his timeline. I mean, he's never off his phone. I understand athletes are looking for clout and all that stuff. The other day, he tweeted a picture of him without a shirt on to show all of his tattoos. Sauce, you're famous for being a great player. What are you doing?
But
I mean, the Jets must cringe every time they see it. You got to stop them.
Yeah, but the days of Derek Jeter and Eli Manning, those are gone. This is how players interact with the fans. It's just the way that it is.
But he's not interacting with fans. He's got a comment about everything.
No, but what I'm saying is, Michael, I agree with you. But going after him saying, get off of social media, I don't think that's the right way to go about it. The way to go about it is, all right, be a little selective and read back what you're sending out. You're still ripping teammates. You're kind of de facto ripping your organization. Like, don't cause controversy. Tweet all you want, but don't create drama. They don't need that. So can't you, Peter, can't you do both? Can't you be active on social media but not create drama within your own team?
Listen, I've always said this about
athletes. I don't get the upside for them. I mean, I hate that I do it, but it's I'm in a position of constantly trying to sell a brand and a personality and having opinions that are relevant. All these dumb things. Some make sense, some don't. Sometimes I'm just getting on a moral high ground, whatever it is. But when you're an athlete and your performance is completely the thing that sets the tone for everything, why do it? Even from a clout chasing standpoint, all the clout you need comes from the way you play.
But here's the one thing about football, which is such an interesting dynamic, is that you can be famous and anonymous at the same time. Like, I think there are a lot of people that know how good Sauce Gardner is. They know the name, wouldn't recognize him in a lineup. Like, that's how football is. I'm not saying Jet fans are in New York, but I'm sure there are people that are football fans in Chicago and L.A. They know Sauce Gardner. They've watched him play. They know how good he is. They know what his ranking is on Madden. And yet, if they saw him in the mall, they'd walk right by him. Because that's what's weird about football. You wear a face mask. You're anonymous. Your name isn't. Excuse me. But you are. And sometimes you feel like you've got to show the tattoo, show some personality, because it's the one sport where you could be famous and unrecognizable in the same breath.
Well, if you're on a team, if you're on a football team, it's got to all be about the team. And I guarantee you that the Jets cringe every time they see this guy tweet. And I'm sure they don't have a leg to stand on, because as Peter said, and as Don's intimating as well, this is how these guys get clout. This is how they get publicity. But it's not good for the team that this guy doesn't shut up. He has an opinion about everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying he shouldn't have an opinion, but you know, as Don just said earlier, sometimes you got to see what your opinion is actually going to accomplish. You just completely destroyed the offensive line, yeah, and you destroyed the team. You destroyed the whole offensive scheme. You said that if they don't block for him, he can do it with his legs. He didn't do it with his legs. He was awful. He was the worst quarterback in football.
Well, that's why I would coach him up, Michael, because I'm sure when he hit send, he probably figured, hey, I'm supporting a teammate. I'm being a good guy.
But that guy's not going to be a teammate that much longer. So, I mean, he's not really thinking it through.
Well, I think that's the problem. I think that's the problem with social media to begin with, is that if you just took the second and read it back, or had somebody read it to you, maybe that's not the best idea, but these guys, they hit send, they don't think about it. I'm sure he probably felt, with the best of intentions, I want to just support my guy. Especially with all the allegations from a couple of years ago, that he didn't have support within that room. Sauce is a veteran, or trying to become a leader, probably thought he was doing a good thing.
Now, a couple of people on Twitter are telling me that Sauce shared the picture of him with the shirt off because he was mocking the Bills player that went at the Jets the day before and did it without a shirt on. Still, why do you have to sink to that level?
Yeah, because not everybody's going to know the context of your tweets. That's one of the most frustrating things about social media, Peter. Like, things pop up and you look at it in real time that you would judge differently if you knew the whole story. But not everybody's in on the joke from the beginning. So you look at it and that's what you got to think about, that stuff when you tweet.
Yeah, I just don't know what he's aiming for. And it's funny because when you talk to Sauce, social media is such a weird thing. You meet Sauce Gardner, with all due respect, you think the guy has nothing to say. I mean, he's not Garrett Wilson. You don't get a lot from Sauce.
You're so right. Every time we've been at Jets,
we've had him.
It's like you got to squeeze it out of him. He does can't not shut him up on Twitter.
And that's what I'm saying. It's so weird because, like, these guys, man, they're young, so like maybe they'll learn and develop. But it's just interesting. It's kind of typical of the way life is, because honestly, Sauce doesn't talk in real life. He will not out loud say interesting things in interviews. But then when he gets on the computer, he just goes, man.
Right. I mean, unless he's got somebody doing it for him.
No, I feel like it's him.
My impression of him and the first time that we got to actually, I think, meet him was at the 20th anniversary. Like, we had interviewed him over the phone, but we actually saw him. And we have the same agency, so we've crossed paths before. And I just find him he's very introverted.
Yes.
As much as he's out there, I don't think he's comfortable speaking. I think he's a little shy. But given the opportunity on social media, you see that he's got a personality. See, that's a positive to me. Because before social media, if you were introverted, then nobody knew anything about you. They would think you didn't have a personality because there would be no way to show it. But this is kind of a way to show it. I think overall it's a good thing. I just think he needs to be coached up a little bit more and realize the things that he's saying. Because I don't think he meant anything negative. But sure, it came across that way.
Yeah, I just don't know how you write that and don't think, okay, that's a shot at the offensive line. And it's got a it's a shot at so many people involved because the guy didn't do any of that. So, I mean, he almost comes off as delusional. If he's not protected, he'll get it done with his legs. Did you watch last season? You know, I was thinking about that as well a lot. You know, everybody wants to kill Robert Saleh. He's not a good coach. He's not a good coach. I don't think we know. But I can't sit there and say he's not a good coach. They won seven games with the worst offense in football with no quarterback. So you can say a lot of it's the defense. Okay. He still somehow coached them to seven wins out of 17 games with an offense that was putrid. Yeah. How bad could he be?
Well, the quarterback that was putrid. I mean, there's still weapons there.
They couldn't use the weapons.
Couldn't use the weapons. Listen, my problem with Robert Saleh is that I think he's a great defensive coach, but there's some things that need to be looked at as far as like in-game decisions and leadership, because there's been a few fires that have happened, you know, and certainly in the year that when Zach was benched and the whole white situation, I put that on him with the t-shirts and all that. But there's been some good, like you said, 7 wins out of 17 for a team that had like zero quarterback and zero offensive line. But, you know, as we've said many times on the show, when you don't know, don't you kind of know? He's going to be entering his fourth year as head coach. He's never had a winning season. And if they end up having a fourth year, Michael, even if Rodgers gets hurt because of it, I mean, how many losing seasons can you have as a head coach before they let you go?
Well, I think this is it.
Yeah, I think this is totally it.
BK Styles says on Twitter, he did not destroy the offensive line. What are you reading? He said if he doesn't have time, he can use his legs. That's a compliment to Zach, not a diss to the line. Make a positive scouting assertion about Wilson. Well, first of all, we all watched the game. He didn't have a good offensive line, so why even bring it up? That's number one. Number two, he's making a positive scouting assertion about Wilson. Well, why didn't Wilson do it with his legs last year? Why? So he's making a false scouting assertion. Because he had time to do it with his legs, and he didn't. He didn't do anything. He couldn't do anything right, and that's why the Jets are going to have to release him.
No. See, he's not reading it. This has to be Cap. Zach is a baller. All he needs is the time to throw the ball. And if for whatever reason he don't have it, he can get it done with his legs. All he needs is time to throw the ball, meaning the offensive line did not give him time to throw the ball.
Unbelievable.
No, but you see, Michael, we're the old guys in the club because I think the fans love this because I think they want to support the player. See, I was on, actually, I did two spots in the morning in Toronto today. There was a bit of a misunderstanding. I thought I was doing it with one, and then I got back-to-back phone calls. So I actually was on both sports radio stations in Toronto this morning because the Rangers are playing in Toronto and all that, and they're all hot if Rempe's going to fight Reeves and all that. But I was asked by one of them about, are we moving in the direction where the younger generation doesn't care about teams, they only care about players? And he said he doesn't want to see that because he doesn't like that. And I'm like, I think the horse is out of the barn. I think there's a younger generation of fans that they switch teams, they fall in love with players, they follow players because that's a safe space, right? You don't have to be hurt by your team losing. You don't have to sit there and root for the same team losing all the time. So these players, these younger players, they're using social media and they've got a whole fan base that buys into it and loves it and adores it and thinks it's cool and they'll support it. Even when they make mistakes, they'll support it. So we look like the old men saying, why is he doing this? I think there's a whole generation of fans that eat this stuff up. They love it and the players know it.
The most important thing, I know you're selling your brand, but the team has to come first. And
yeah.
You're not helping the matter of the team.
I agree with you. 100% I agree with you. But why do I feel if we ran it up the poll to a certain segment or demographic age-wise that would probably disagree with our assertion of it? They love it.
Let's go to Anthony in West Milford. Anthony.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Good. Well, listen. The last 2 weeks, especially since it's the combine season and all that, and the last 3 days especially on this radio station, people have been talking about Caleb and how he's this, you know, head case and all that. Let me tell you something about who Caleb is, okay? And now, I'm going to get it out of the way first. I'm a fan of the team that he played for, so I'm going to get that out of the way first so you guys don't you know, shoot that back at me later on. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that came to the team. We had the worst record and the worst part of the program since when Pete took over. He comes in, immediately sets the tone for the team, takes the team to within a game of the playoff, and we probably would have went to the playoff if he didn't pull his hamstring in the Pac-12 championship game, but that's a different story for a different time. Let's go to who he is as a person. This is a guy who doesn't spend his time when he's not playing games, doesn't go to the clubs, doesn't hang out, never see even a tabloid. So want to know what he does? He goes into the community, and he helps kids who are suffering from bullying and mental health crises and all that other stuff. He created a care foundation called Caleb Cares. He has reached out and done everything in the community you could possibly want somebody to lead your franchise.
But Anthony, you heard what we said earlier, though. I mean, this is from the Athletic story. His father is asking for a way around the first. I mean, we could be the best guy in the world, and he could be a great player. Yeah.
The ownership story is a fake story. That story is not true.
Not according to the Athletic. It came from his father. His father investigated it. How do you know, Anthony? Are you part of the family? Are you that certain?
That's not true because it's been debunked by multiple sources.
But then the Athletic, which is part of the New York Times, just completely wrote something fake.
Oh, the New York Times has never wrote something that's not true.
I understand, Anthony, but why would they take on all the other stuff?
He's a great dude. That doesn't nullify. Hold on, Anthony. I'll let you talk. Relax. You said that he's a great dude. You listed all the things that make him wonderful. None of us are. At no point have we maligned his character.
He calls him a head case.
No, I'm saying he could be
a head case.
I never used the word head case.
I didn't use the word head case.
No one. We said he could be.
He's a challenge.
You made up head case. We didn't say that
because of the people he has surrounding him, trying to circumvent the CBA, not thinking that you should be on a 5-year contract as a rookie. That stuff's not made up. He was looking to hire agents to see if they could find any loopholes.
Was Archie Manning and Jack Elway, were they wrong?
Yeah, they were wrong.
How? Their careers turned out perfect.
Yeah, but they were wrong. They circumvented something. And you know what? They didn't try to circumvent the CBA. They just said, we're not playing for them. They happen to both come from very wealthy families.
Again, hold on. Again, let's say his dad did that. Let's just say that's true. That has something to do with Caleb?
It has everything to do with Caleb.
You're going to have to deal with that. You're going to take the dad.
You've got to deal with that stuff. Just like when you're one of the ball kids, you got to deal with the father.
Yeah, LaMelo's been fine.
Oh, okay. That's great.
Patrick Mahomes, his dad's a big problem. We agree on that, right?
No. Wait, when was Patrick Mahomes
a problem in terms of Patrick's career?
He never did anything with his career.
The point, Anthony, that I was making and that we were making overall, nobody said head case. Nobody said he's a bad guy. We're talking about somebody that's coming in with a very, very high opinion of himself. He wouldn't be the first person. Like I said, Eric Lindros. You go back to John Elway. You go back to Eli Manning. They all didn't want to play for the team that drafted him. But you're talking about trying to change the way the system works. Well, then you better be able to ball. Is all I'm saying. So if I'm taking him first overall, there's a certain amount of pressure that comes with that. There's a certain amount of pressure of coming into the NFL as the first overall pick, expecting to be great. And if he struggles, what do you think is going to get thrown back in his face? Oh, you wanted part ownership of the team. Oh, you wanted to circumvent the and find loopholes in the draft. That's going to get thrown back in your face. And most likely, he's going to struggle in his first couple of years, like most quarterbacks do. When you're investing the first overall pick in the draft, these are the things that you look at. And you don't want to be looked upon as a problem. So he better ball. And if he does, guess what? Nobody's going to care. Becomes the next Dan Marino, no one's going to care. But if he's Ryan Leaf, or if he's Eli Manning in his first year, or Troy Aikman in his first year, what's going to get thrown back in his face, guys? And then the pressure is going to mount.
And not even that, just that, though, Don. Even if he does look like he's going to be an all-time great, things can get complicated and challenging if there's constantly other conversation going on about family and wanting to get a piece of the team. And all of those things. Listen, I'm not saying it's the be-all, end-all. I'm not saying I don't want him in Washington if it's an option. But you also can't ignore all of it and think it won't impact anything.
Let's go to Julia in the car. Julia.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
John, Michael, Peter. Good. I'm just calling because I I just want to say how much I appreciate listening to you guys. I've been listening to you now for 3 years, and I'm learning so much about sports, and my goal short term is to literally sound like you guys when I speak. And I not only listen to you guys, I listen to Kate Winslet, Dua Lipa, Kate Blanchett. I also listen to Gary, Ron, and Peter, and Gary, Ron, and Keith.
What do you listen to Kate Winslet doing?
Yeah, what is Kate Winslet?
I listen to Alan Hines.
How they talk.
Wait a minute. Julia, a minute. What do you listen to Kate Winslet for? I don't get that.
Kate Winslet, she's an amazing actress. I mean, have you seen her?
I think she's wonderful, but I mean, I don't understand. Hey, thank you for the phone call, Julia. Love you. How does Kate Winslet fall into the Alan Hahn and Bart? And Bart Scott.
She was complimenting us. Like,
yeah, I don't understand it, but it was like all
you said, everybody's got a podcast. She must have one.
I don't think Kate Winslet has a podcast.
No. Hold on. She just meant that these are the people she listens to emulate speaking, like thinking that we are communicate well and use our voice well. That's
right.
All.
And she was complimenting us.
You were somehow offended by her compliment.
I wasn't offended by it. I didn't know if it was a play or not.
I think we lost a listener, Peter.
Kate Winslet.
You might have hurt her permanently there.
Well, listen, there's two other people on the show that you can continue to love and love you. So fight through it.
Julia, I love you, but I mean, I don't know how. I've never heard, like, if it was an SAT test, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, and Kate Winslet, what doesn't fit?
But why does it matter? It's worked for her.
She was mentioning the people that she listens to and admires and respects, and we were put in that category until about 30 seconds ago.
And now we're out, Don, because Michael didn't understand it and he didn't like it. I was immediately flattered.
Peter, I think the collateral damage and what was a very hurtful thing by Michael.
And you know what stinks about it, too? It's like, I'm so glad that the people she named were like Kate Winslet. Like, I wouldn't have been excited if she just named other yo-yos from sports talk radio. I love, Don, that we were included in this great category. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Hang in there, please. Fight through it. I think we broke Michael.
And now we broke Michael.
You really did.
You know what we're going to do?
I thought we were being played, and you guys are taking it like...
No, we weren't being played. No. There was not an ounce of in that woman's voice of playing us. That was all... Anthony, you agree.
That's the
play. That was all legit. That was kosher.
She's been listening for 3 years, and she finally, it sounded like, mustered the courage to call up, and she was clearly nervous.
While she was on, by the way, you know who I took a call from?
Who?
Bob in Warwick.
Yeah, tell Bob to take a
call. I said that's not happening again.
Take something else, too. And maybe take some medication to... You get the idea.
You know, Bob's going to be a guest on our show, The Fine Line, at 8 a.m. on Saturdays. You know who the host of that is?
Who's that?
Joe Wiz.
Joe, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call what Bob was doing whizzing. It was almost like...
Yeah, that's giving it too much credit.
Yeah, I just think his private part was more throwing up than peeing. It just sounded like, go see a urologist, pills you can take, man. Come on, man. Stick with us, buddy.
Julia, can I say one thing?
If I
misinterpreted what you said, truly, truly apologize. I didn't know where you were going, and I'm very suspicious of people, and it just seemed like it didn't connect to me.
Oh, it's sad.
You're not going to let me up. By the way, you have a shadow on your face all day on TV.
Yeah, all day. People.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
I'm not the director. I'm not the producer of the show.
Nobody coaches him up.
A shadow over your right eye from your microphone. Are you in a
coach me
spot?
Up then. Coach me up. Like Don once said.
Where are we, Peter, today?
At home.
Okay.
Nobody coaches me up.
Is it the estate or is it the apartment?
No, I'm at the apartment and I have these nice lights.
It's an awful look.
Is it fixed? It'll be fixed right now. All you have to do is tell me I had a shadow. I'm not watching.
It looks
I don't
like
watch
the Dick Tracy character, Two-Face.
You know, you know what you're doing?
What?
You're projecting.
I am.
And you're redirecting because you yelled at an innocent woman who said she loved our show, and now she's probably gone.
You know what T. Jones says, and he makes a lot of good sense. He said, just have Julia call back and say she wants to talk about the Yankees' double-A backup catcher. She'd still be
on the air. That's a great. You know what? Is that a point guard?
You know
early?
What? And she wouldn't have to wait on hold long.
Oh, that's a great point by you. Or if maybe she just calls up and wants to relieve herself on the air, we can put her right on.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Break the frozen
ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks.
Got a nice Metro Division game tonight. Capitals playing host to the Philadelphia Flyers. Capitals fighting for a playoff spot. I'm getting the Capitals a plus 120 at home. Sonny Milano is back in the lineup for Washington. Philadelphia is dealing with some tough injuries on their blue line, plus Travis Konecki is not going to play because of an upper body injury. So I like the Caps at home on the money line, plus 120. Lock it in.
All right, so Vin in Tampa wants to talk about ice picks. Vin.
Hey guys, how are you doing today?
Good. How are
What's up, Vin?
I'm doing good. So Anthony kind of gave me a little bit of an answer here. I'm not a big hockey guy. I'm getting into it. I was wondering, how come the Rangers don't try to trade Jonathan Quick and try to, like, a team like Toronto, and then try to get a top pick forward?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, Toronto wouldn't want Jonathan Quick because he's going to be, you know, he's 38 years old, and I don't know if he's going to be someone as good as he's played to play every other day for a playoff run. Plus, I think the Rangers are happy to have a competent backup in case something were to happen to Igor. So, no, they would not trade him. You need to have a good backup goaltender. And I don't think the Rangers want to create a hole like that as good as Jonathan Quick has played. So, no.
I don't think they'd get a top six forward for Jonathan Quick.
No, you're not going to. It's not going to happen. No.
Let's go to Ron in New City. Ron.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Good. What's up, Ronnie?
Not much. When that woman called, I did think maybe she was spoofing you guys. And I don't know. Peter, forgive me, but sometimes I think if Michael says black, you're going to say white.
Maybe you should say the other way around.
Whatever it is, man. Whatever it is.
Wait, you think I'm intentionally just disagreeing with Michael to disagree?
I think Ron is so right.
No, I listen, nobody has a radar for a work better than me. I'm always sensing that. I still think the guy that was peeing was a work. I think it was another caller who knew what happened with the other guy and pretended to be him and pee. That's how I sensed, and I could be wrong, guys, but I think, Peter, you agree, she sounded nervous to me. If 100%. It was a work, she's a fabulous actress.
No, that was 100% just a nervous girl who didn't know exactly what to say, and now she got screamed at on the radio by Michael K.
She didn't get screamed at. Why don't you stop? She didn't
hung up
get
on.
Screamed at.
She got hung up on.
She didn't get hung up on.
Oh, no, she sure did. I mean, come on. We got to call something when it happens, right?
Barbara in Florida. Barbara.
Barbara. Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Barbara.
And just to let you know, Michael, yes, I can hear the entire show while I'm on hold.
Thank
there you go.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing the brightness and laughter to my day every day. I appreciate it. It is the best medicine. But I have to ask you a question, and I don't know if you can answer it. When the Yankees are playing spring training, mm-hmm. and they play up in Tampa, all the major guys are playing every day. When they come down to a little ballpark like Charlotte Park, you go to a game, there's not one major player there.
Well, that's not true because it's league rules that have to be at least three or four regulars. So, I mean, but Barber, if you're the Yankees, are you going to force Soto and Judge to make long bus trips?
Well, I don't know.
Well, that's
I mean, we go there to see them, and then we go, and there's nobody there.
They appreciate that, and I understand, but you're going to see the team that you're going to see, their home players, you're getting their best players. Teams don't want their best players to sit on long bus rides.
How far is that trip that she was talking about?
I'm not quite sure, but I know this. In the last 10 years of his career, the clubhouse attendants did not put a road gray uniform in Mariano Rivera's locker. He never took a road trip in spring training, ever, ever. I mean, you go in knowing exactly what's going on. I apologize, but it happens for – it's not just the Yankees. Every team that takes an over-hour bus ride, they're not going to bring their best players. They're just not.
Yeah, Florida's too spread out. Arizona, I'm sure they do it a little differently because everybody's kind of close, but in Florida, they're spread
it's
out.
It's like an actual road trip.
Yeah.
You try sitting on a bus for, I'm not saying, I mean, there are people that really work hard for a living. I get it. But you're trying to keep these guys healthy in a sport where everybody gets hurt. You don't need somebody having their back stiffen up because they took a trip to Port Charlotte or to Jupiter. That flight to Jupiter, whew, takes days.
I love, isn't it crazy that these guys are like, we're talking about professional athletes at the top of their game who are like 27 years old. They're 27 years old, but they can injure themselves sitting in a car for an hour. It's strange to me. And in baseball, Don, they'd come up with some weird name for it. You know, he has a grumpy left ventricle. You know, when the ventry gets grumpy, you know, that could be a couple of weeks.
He's got bus butt.
Well, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's stop this for a second. So you're going to like just completely hose professional athletes when professional recording artists, the things they ask for in their in their contracts to be in their dressing room, stop. I want green M&Ms. I want flat water. I don't want stop.
Hold on. First of all,
everybody that's famous has demands that the normal person would look at and go, really? Don't just put on professional athletes.
No. I'm not even mad at them for not doing it. It's more like do whatever you want. Like whatever your job is willing to do for you, I have no problem with you doing it at all. I think it's more actually just weird that these guys can be at such a crazy level physically and have such small things damage them physically. Like, that's something that would happen to me. Like, hey, Don, once you get into your 40s and 50s and you're not active enough, it's like, oh, well, I took a nap and I injured my back. You don't expect it from a 28-year-old athlete.
Yeah, but unfortunately in baseball, I don't even think it's the players. I think the organization's saying, you're not going. I'm not putting you on a bus for an hour.
Let's
right,
go,
Michael. I don't think these players are requesting it. I think a lot of these players
are being
told. No,
but I mean, it's kind of unspoken. I mean,
you
get past 30, they're not going to put you on a bus.
I get what Peter's saying, but at the same time, these are exhibition games. There's a ton of them. They have to be this long to get the pitchers ready. But Michael, compared to other sports, even football, this is a long spring training is long. And to expect these guys to play every game or play road trips where they got to be on the bus for an hour and a half, I can see where you're like, yeah, we're good. You just stay home. You'll do batting practice and then play tomorrow when we're
absolutely.
Steinbrenner or the Mets in Port St. Lucie. By the way, Severino got up to 98 today, Michael.
Not when he's healthy. I mean, it's a good signing if he's healthy. The Yankees are playing two games in Mexico City toward the end of spring training. So they're having a split squad, two games in Tampa, and half the team, two games in Mexico City. Well, the team that they're playing, the Diablos Rojos of the Mexican Baseball League, just signed Robinson Cano. So he's 41 years old, and he will be playing against his former team in all likelihood. Let's go to Antonio in New Jersey. Antonio.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Antonio?
This question is for Donnie Pucks. So the Canadian Fugazi media is sports media is kind of hyping this matchup of the Rangers and Leafs tomorrow as more of a boxing match than a hockey game. And they're kind of inciting some stuff with Ryan Reeves, who's feeding into it. And I want to know what you think about maybe Laviolette protecting his 21-year-old kid and Matt Rempe and, you know, maybe healthy scratching him. I don't like this.
I don't think you want to hide from it if you're the, if you don't want to make him a healthy scratch. He's a part of this team. They expect him to play. They want him to play. But I get what you're saying. Like I mentioned before, I did two spots in Toronto morning shows today, and it's all they're talking about. It's Hockey Night in Canada, two original six teams. Ryan Reeves is considered the heavyweight, and there are this expectations with Rempe being like a folk hero that they're going to go at it. I don't even know if he's healed from the fight from last Sunday.
He had some black eye, man.
I don't think Ryan Reeves, they all have a code. I don't think Reeves is going to challenge him, and I'm sure Laviolette will tell Rempe, don't start anything. Because do you really want to have to go through that again? This is one of the best fighters, if not the best fighters in hockey. You just got your head handed to him last Sunday. Don't say anything. I don't think anything is going to happen, but he's right. Up in Canada, they're flipping out over this. They think it's Hockey Night Canada. It's their Monday night or their Sunday night football. They're expecting something. I don't think it's a good idea for him to do it. I don't know if he's ready for it. And
well,
I don't,
what do you mean a good what if Reeves said we're doing it?
I don't think that'll happen. Listen, but that would be interesting. If
but
Reeves
didn't that happen with the previous two? They said, we're going.
The previous two, they said, you want to go. And Rempe's like, okay.
But how would it look if Reeves says, you want to go, and he goes, no, I don't.
If Rempe says that?
Yeah, if Rempe says no, yeah.
Then nothing happens. It's no big deal. I mean,
but then he looks like he wimped out. I understand what the caller's saying. Maybe do a healthy scratch. Well, you don't need a sideshow. You have to win games.
Well, I think that if Reeves asked him to go and Rempe said no, it would look weak on Rempe. I don't think anybody would look at Reeves. I mean, I think it would just be a case of Reeves saying, I'm not going to fight the kid. Look at him. He's still got a black eye from last Sunday. I'm not going to do that. And I don't think, listen, if it ever came down to it, then probably scratch him. But Rempe shouldn't challenge him. Rempe shouldn't say anything. But as long as they're in the game and something were to happen, I guess there's the possibility of there being a fight. But I don't think it's a good idea for this kid to be fighting like every game. Nothing happened on Wednesday. He didn't fight Olivier. Everything was fine. So, but he's right. The Canadian media is flipping out about it. There's a certain level of expectations there. And I guess if the pressure is going to be to that point, maybe Laviolette says, listen, I'm not going to put him into it. I'm going to make him a scratch. But I also want this kid to play and do all the things he's expected to do for this team. Playing on a fourth line, it's played very well for them. But it's not a bad call. I'm calling the game tomorrow. I'm very interested to see how this is all going to play itself out.
So you know Ronald Acuña, right, Don?
Very familiar with
his brother, sure. Luis Angel Acuña, who's in the Met system.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have a brother, Kenny, who's 12 years old.
Right.
12.
Right. He's verbally agreed to join the Phillies. Wouldn't be eligible to formally sign until international free agent class in January 2028. Does that sound kosher to you? Why should the Phillies enter a verbal agreement with a 12-year-old? Aren't we supposed to protect these kids?
Well, the thing is, it's not legally binding, Michael, so it sounds like it's just a PR stunt because it can't be legally binding. So a verbal agreement, what does that mean?
Well, why would a team make a verbal agreement with a kid?
Yeah, that's like almost a weird look for them just to do it.
I don't, unless there was just some sort of a conversation, but I think everybody has to realize that means nothing, right?
If it means nothing, then why would the Phillies have a verbal agreement with them? If it means nothing, I would agree it's probably not legally binding, but if the Phillies are indeed having a verbal agreement with a 12-year-old, they should be punished. You're not allowed to do that. The kid's 12 years old.
Yeah, that's seem odd. A little seedy. I'd like to get to the bottom of that. Like, was it just something that was like, hey, we talked and he said he wants to play for us and we said, okay. If it's not legally binding, I don't know how anybody could take it seriously. So the Phillies could probably just either deny it or just say it doesn't mean anything. We never approached him. I need to get the backstory on this, but you're right. It doesn't make the Phillies look very good. Talking to a 12, you can't talk to a 12-year-old kid anyway. It would have to be a verbal agreement with the parents, I guess.
But right? Was it written in crayon? I mean, is it on a refrigerator?
Like, well, he told me he's going to play for me. Yeah, he's 12. That's weird,
we're going to find out who the point guard is. It could be Julia. It could be the P-meister.
I won yesterday, so I clinched a week.
Yeah, you did. Well, it was hard for
good
me
for you, man.
To get it yesterday.
Here's the question, Peter, coming in to today. Does Anthony have the cubes, as Michael likes to say, to shut Michael out? Because Michael doesn't have one this week.
I don't think so.
Well, I don't think I had anything point guard worthy today, to be honest.
Well, but it doesn't matter. I don't think any of us, me, or I'm talking to you, Michael. Peter's been shut out many times.
Every time. Every week I get shut out.
We've never had where we've been shut out. I mean, I don't think Anthony will do it. I would guarantee you're going to be the point guard today.
By the way, I have not had a point guard in 28 days.
You need to have a conversation with Anthony.
Maybe he has to have a conversation with himself.
No, that's I know the points that I've made. No, that's just not true.
No, the reason he has to make it because I've heard many times Peter say, "Well, that's point guard for himself." So
that's folly to give yourself the point guard. Folly,
I say it for you guys too, but
also
folly. I assume that at some point someone would actually hear something I say and think it's worthwhile. But you know what? As we learned earlier today, it might be time.
He has said that way more than you recently.
Bath. What's happening in there?
Well, Don LaGreca here to tell you about my friends at Bath Fitter. They remodeled my mom's bath, did an awesome job. The process was easy. One expert installer, even with the customization she needed for a cast iron tub. It was done in one day with no demo or mess. It's a beautiful, high-quality, permanent solution. Bath Fitter provides a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers like my mom. For a limited time, get 0% interest and save $500 on a complete Bath Fitter system. So start designing your bath today at bathfitterdesign.com. There is only one Bath Fitter.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The point guard.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
This now has been a couple of years of us hearing different things. It kind of started with him crying in his mom's arms in the stands, and then continued with the I'd like an ownership situation when I come to the league. And then, by the way, let's not forget, last year, relative to his college career, a sort of pedestrian season, lost in big spots, was not great, was good. So he's going the wrong direction play-wise and the wrong direction in terms of difficulty and, like, in all likelihood, just unnecessary conversation. Obviously, if you're looking for a quarterback, you're strongly considering him. But wouldn't you say, if you're looking at him and Drake May and you think they're both great, couldn't all of this other stuff be like, you know what, let's go with the player who might have, like, a tiny percentage less talent to not deal with it all?
Pity. That's what that is. That's pity.
I don't know.
No, it's pity. And also, you cost me, Don. That's what you did. So you did exactly what you wanted to do. You got me shut out. And Anthony probably had me lined up to do something. But he said, let me give it to Peter so everybody shuts up. And you know what? Michael's the easy guy to pick on.
You know what? None of you, obviously, why don't you guys just come out and let Anthony go? Because you clearly don't respect him as a man. Because you clearly, if it doesn't go the way you want it to go, Michael, then everything he stands for as a person is called into question. I think you should just let him go.
I don't have the power.
Sure you don't.
No, I don't.
You don't, but you could suggest it, and it would probably happen.
I suggest a lot of things.
Well, then, Don, why are we arguing about it then, okay?
I'm just saying.
Yes, he can't say the words, you're fired. That would be ineffective. You just keep on working. But he calls one of his bigwig friends, and the next thing you know, Anthony's packing up his locker. You know what I mean? It's bag day.
Of the people that work on the show, Anthony would be the last guy I'd want.
Oh, really? Power rankings of who you want fired. Go ahead.
No, I mean, you could figure it out. And Jacob's on the bottom of the list, too.
Huh? Wow.
Sorry, Tom.
Poor Tom.
So is Tom. Tom's on the bottom, too. Okay. Rod in Bethlehem. Rod?
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, happy Friday.
Same to you.
You know, Peter, as whenever I call, you know I'm going to sneak it in whenever you get a chance to watch the greatest of all time playing on Fox Broadcasting. Saturday at 4:30.
There you go.
Messi and Inter Miami versus Orlando. Should be a good game. You'll be able to watch it if you're available. I'm going to suggest it to everybody. He's already started. He's informed the rest of the team is not. He scored the 95th minute on Sunday. So my Met point to Michael and Don, especially being a Met fan. How do I go into a season that I know is an evaluation season?
Like cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, you don't expect much, and anything that happens, you just joyously accept it. Don't go in expecting them to win the pennant. If they make the they make a wild card, that's great, right?
And, you know, it's funny because there is a lot of evaluation for sure. You know, Beatty, Vientos. A lot, you know, three of the starting pitchers for sure, some of the bullpen. But, you know, I think Alonso can have a monster year. Lindor is an outstanding player. I think Alvarez is really coming into his own. Nimmo and McNeil, especially McNeil, can have a bounce back season. Like, so there's talent there. They're not bereft of talent, Michael. Like, I don't think it's a complete rebuild season. Listen, a lot of things are going to have to break their way for them to be a playoff team. But if you look at the standard of 84 wins as a possible playoff team. Well, what did Pecota have of them at, Michael? 81, 82, something like that? 80?
Yeah, it might have been 79.
All right, so even if it's 79, you would have to beat the projection by five games to possibly be a playoff team. So it's not like the projections are 60 wins or 70 wins. It's so... Yeah, again, I wouldn't bet on them to make the playoffs or, like what a caller suggested, shave my head if they don't make the playoffs, but... The phrase I'd use is cautiously optimistic.
Well, I don't even know how you could be cautiously optimistic. He said, how should he feel? How should he approach it? Just go in thinking they're not going to make the playoffs, and if they do, that's great. I don't know how you could be optimistic. They don't have pitching.
But you can be optimistic in a sense that it could be a fun season, that you finish above 500,
You could be a 75-win team and have a good season if you're not like a fan that says World Series or bust. But
well,
you can't go in expecting them to make the playoffs. But
I could tell you with this talent, I'd be disappointed if they won 75 games. I think that they're capable of winning more than 75. I don't think they're going to be a team that's not going to – I think there's a team that could still be very much alive for a playoff spot on September 1st.
And if they're not gone, people are going to be in pain. And if they're in pain, what happens?
Well, pain is, then what you need to go see my friend and our friend, Dr. Jay Shah. He's a double board certified pain specialist. Don't let your neck, back, joint, or nerve pain slow you down from doing all the things that you love. It is time to reclaim your active lifestyle. Call our friend Dr. Jay Shah today at Samwell Pain. Dr. Jay Shah treats joint, neck, back, sciatica, and nerve pain. Dr. Shah is also a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, scars, incisions, or downtime. Call Dr. Shah today to take a non-surgical approach with precise image-guided procedures without pain medications. Enjoy life pain-free. Same day and next day appointments are available. Go to SamwellPain.com. Put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shah. Go to SamwellPain.com today. Regain your active lifestyle. Enjoy all of your favorite activities pain-free. Samwell Pain now has three convenient locations in Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand new office in Englewood to serve Bergen County. Visit SamwellPain.com and you will wish you met Dr. Shah sooner. Most major insurance are accepted.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.